You know, we might turn the fans off. Anybody? Just we'll turn these off because it's pushing the heat down. Amen. And that might be what it is. Amen. When it's warmer in here, preachers have a tendency to preach a long time. So we'll fix that. If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I would like to say today that I am just so thankful to be your pastor. I am humbled. And it says in Hebrews, no man taketh this honor upon himself, but he that is called of God. And God has called me to preach, and he's called me here to be your pastor. And I am so thankful for that. Such a blessing. It's very humbling, more than you'll know. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 1. The Bible says, the elders which are among you, I exhort. Oh, yeah, let's let the young people go. Yeah, they are. Yeah. They have a treat in their classroom today. Yeah. No, Candy. Sit back down. Okay, guys, lock the doors. Put the chains on them. But anyway, well, let's start over. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's quite a great message from Peter there, but I just want to draw your attention to verse 5 and 6. He says, be clothed with humility, and he says, humble yourselves. I want to speak on humility today. It is such an important Bible characteristic. It's so blessed by the Lord, and we'll see what he has to say. Father, thank you for your word. We do ask your blessing, Lord, as we speak and as we hear. May you give us all tender hearts, and may we bow before you in reverence and in awe. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Humility is not walking around with your head down. It's not soft tone, although that can be involved in it, but it's not necessary for humility. The definition of humility for most of the scriptures is freedom from pride and arrogance. The opposite of humility is pride. And so we read in the scriptures, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. That would be enough to cause us to seek humility, to find out what it means, because God giveth grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Pride is a dangerous thing, and it's the opposite of humility. Humility is a wonderful thing, and we'll see that as we go through the scriptures. In Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. You can't be proud of your humility. You know, I'm more humble than you, and I'm better than you, and I'm proud. That is not Bible humility. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 20 and verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, Proverbs says, As he thinketh in his heart, so shall he be. So what he is thinking about, that's what he is, and it's in his heart. You have Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. So it's not acting humble. It's the real thing. It's humbleness of mind. It's in your mind. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it talks about humility of mind and humbleness of mind. You have Philippians 2:8. This is speaking of the Lord. And it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. He made himself of no reputation. He came to do the Father's will. He did always those things that please the Father. And so he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That is real humility. Because again, it is not my will, it's the will of the Father. We have in verse 5 of Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So it's talking about humility of mind. It's talking about humbleness of mind. Let that mind be in you. And we have an example of that in the Bible. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at that today. In our text in 1 Peter chapter 5, it said, clothed with humility. So we have humility of mind is what we're thinking about, but then it's something we put on. Remember last week I spoke about 1 Corinthians 13? Charity is love in work clothes. It produces something. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. That's a good thing. That's in here. But then it shows itself out here. So we put on humility. We not only have it in our mind, but we wear it. So Colossians chapter 3 says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Again, here's the context. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. If that's all the Bible we had, we would know what humility was. If that's all the scripture we had, we would know how to act humble and to have a mind of humility and to follow the pattern of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The blessings and benefits of humility are unsearchable because God giveth grace to the humble. We're following our Lord. We're accomplishing his will. We're worshiping him. We're reverencing him. And it's all because of humility of mind and humility of heart. That's where our relationship to God comes in. Amen? And then God blesses that. He blesses us all the time. Meekness is one of the words in that verse. It says humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And I want to look at that word. There are so many words that express what humility is. But meekness is one of those words. You could pick any of these words out, and they're interchangeable. They're facets of the same diamond. They just show a different kind of light. But meekness, according to Webster's dictionary, is humility. It's humility. That's what meekness is. Resignation, submission to the divine will without murmuring. Without murmuring. That's what meekness is. I'm going to submit to the will of God. I'm going to honor God in my life. I'm going to reverence him. I'm going to follow him. But I'm going to do it in meekness. I'm going to do it submissively. I'm going to do it because I know it pleases him. It's not a bad attitude. Amen? It's a free choice that we take to follow our Lord. And Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, there's the Sermon on the Mount. That's the sermon that Jesus preached. And he starts out chapter 5 in verse 5, blessed are the meek. He's showing all these blessings and all these people that he's going to bless. And he says, blessed are the meek. Who are the meek? They're the humble. They're the ones that say, not my will, but thy will be done. We have Psalm 25, 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Okay, I want to be teachable. I want to learn about God. Amen? So the Bible says, if I'm meek, if I'm humble, he's going to instruct me. You have Matthew 11, 29. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Boy, that's what we need today. Amen? It's either that or shoot the TV. you know, and don't listen to the news. But there has to be rest somewhere, and there's a spiritual rest. We enter into that no matter what the circumstances are. There's peace in the midst of tribulation. We have also Isaiah 29:19. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. Now, that's just four short verses. Here's the blessings of humility. Blessing, guidance, rest, and joy. That's what I want. In all of those verses, in those last four verses, that pops out in each of the verses. Joy. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Amen. And all of these different verses. 2 Corinthians 10:1. The meekness and gentleness of Christ, they go together. We find the psalmist saying, thy gentleness, speaking to God, thy gentleness hath made me great. That's why we're called gentlemen. Amen? Amen. Amen. Two amens, one amen, and a lot of laughter. Okay. But he's gentle. Isn't he gentle? And that's one of the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. I mean, all of these things are interchangeable. Okay, I want to be teachable. I want to have joy. I want to have rest in my soul. I want God to be gentle with me. It all comes back to humility. We have Galatians 5:23, meekness. It's the fruit of the Spirit. 1 Timothy 6:11. This is instruction for a young preacher from Paul the Apostle. And he said, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, and he lists those. And he says, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. There is your context again. It's a great list of what we're supposed to follow. We have Titus chapter 3 and verse 2. Again, here's some advice. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Boy, that is good teaching. Amen? We have Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Some days were up, some days were down. Some days were spiritual, some days were carnal. And people are around us all the time. And we can help others, and others can help us. Amen? If you're spiritual, you'll have that spirit of meekness. 2 Timothy 2:25. This is a good one. What do you do with people that argue with you or that oppose you or that oppose God? Well, here's some advice, okay? It says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. What a blessing. It says, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Paul said, to use sharpness, and the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. We understand that's talking about the scriptures. But he says, to use sharpness, not for destruction, but for edification. Edification is to build up. And so there are those that don't know the Lord and would argue against the Lord in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Amen? It's not some big argument and some hatred or some animosity. It's almost a broken heart for those. We have James chapter 3 and verse 13. James chapter 3 is the chapter about the tongue and about wisdom. And it says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Why meekness of wisdom? Because knowledge puffeth up. And if you just get knowledge without knowing the Lord and the fellowship of his sufferings, it has a tendency to puff you up. But here it says, meekness of wisdom. So, the word comes, and God gives us the Spirit to help give that word to somebody else. And we speak the truth in love. We have Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. Moses. He's the deliverer of the Jews out of Egyptian bondage, right? And he was the meekest man on the earth. Why? The Lord comes to him, I think it's Exodus chapter 3, and says, this is what I want you to do, Moses. I want you to go to the children of Israel, and you be their deliverer. And Moses said three things. He said, who am I? Next verse, he said, I am not eloquent. Next verse, he says, I am slow to speak. You got the wrong guy. That's what he said to the Lord. You got the wrong guy. And then the Lord said, I will be with you. And so then Moses went. Amen. You have in Hebrews chapter 11, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He gave away the riches of Egypt so he could serve the Lord. And he said, he esteemed his choice greater than all those riches. He valued that. That's why he's called the meekest man. He did all of that for the Lord. Amen. And we find out, and you don't have to turn here. I will find it in a second, or maybe a minute, or maybe 10 minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Who gets the glory? Amen. It says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I believe that Moses' life gave glory to God because God did it all. Moses just followed him. He acknowledged his weakness, and then he served the Lord. That's humility. It's not me doing it. It's God doing it through me. We're instruments. Like John Henry Hankins, old-time preacher, said, God can hit an awful hard lick with a crooked stick if the stick belongs to him. Amen? You don't have to have all kinds of knowledge and all kinds of education that can be profitable, but God will use anybody that will say, here am I, Lord, send me. Put on meekness. Again, you can run the references for all of these words, but we've chosen meekness today. I want to look at some stories of humility, stories of blessings in the Bible. And again, we'll concentrate on the positive, not the negative. We're not going to talk about pride. Pride goeth before destruction, absolutely. But God giveth grace to the humble. It says in Proverbs 9, and verse 9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Rebuke a wise man, and he'll love you. Rebuke a fool, and he'll hate you. So when we come before God and we receive the word of God, we ought to be doing backflips. Amen? Boy, God taught me something today. My heart was hungry. It was open, and the Spirit of God spoke to me. Get the pastor out of the way. Amen? Just a vehicle, just a mouthpiece. Preach the word. That's what God told me to do. So I'm giving the word out, but God makes the word powerful. And Paul said that. He said, I came and I in weakness and in much trembling, but in the power of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is here. And whatever you want to learn today from the message, God will help you learn it. Amen? What a blessing that is. You have Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Boy, think of that. I read something about that this week. He washed Judas's feet, and the preacher that I was reading, he said, that is the greatest act of humility ever done. Here's the Creator, and he knows Judas is going to betray him, and he's washing Judas's feet. You ever remember when Judas came out to betray the Lord, what Jesus said to him? He said, friend. I mean, it's an amazing thing, but in meekness, in humility, we find that. Jesus did always those things that please the Father. We come to Philippians chapter 2, and we read all about the Lord. He made himself of no reputation, but in that humility, he gave himself, because that was the cause of Christ. The Apostle Paul, I want to read a few verses here. If you want to follow, it's Philippians chapter 3. What a man of humility. We look at his credentials. Boy, he had credentials. He had a doctorate from Harvard. He had one from, what's another place? Where? Notre Dame. Okay. He had all these doctors. But this is his credentials. The Apostle Paul really had a lot of talent, ability, and knowledge. And it says in verse 3, We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof, that he might trust in the flesh, I more. Here's his credentials. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, is touching the law, a Pharisee. Boy, he had position. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Everything changes now. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. His whole idea of life changed because he met the Lord. Amen? And so Paul could have been so proud, and that pride could have ruined his life, but he gave up everything so he could follow the Lord. Three things that Paul said in progression now and maturing as a believer. 1 Corinthians 15:9, he said, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm the least of the apostles. He matures a little more. Ephesians 3:8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints. Boy, he's really going down. Amen. I am less than the least of all saints. The third thing in his maturity, 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'm the chief of sinners, not just less than the least of all saints, or the least of the apostles. You see that the closer he got to the Lord, the more the Lord meant and the less he meant. Amen? And when we do that, you know, knowledge is good. Use it for the Lord. Amen? Position is wonderful. Use it for the Lord. Wealth is great. Use it all for God. And give God the glory because he gave you the mind, the strength, the opportunity, everything. Amen? And so we glorify God. That's humility. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, Paul said, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's humility. We give all the glory to God. Third John, we have Diotrephes and we have Demetrius. Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence. And Demetrius, same book, says, has a good report of all men. And so we see that humility has helped him. We have Luke chapter 18. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one man a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee says, I thank God I'm not like that man. Look what I do. I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. And the publican stood afar off. He would not lift up his eyes toward heaven, but he bowed himself to the ground and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That man went home justified. The man that said, I'm not like the other ones, I'm better, did not go home justified. Humility leads to salvation. It leads to God using us. It leads to peace, rest, joy. We have the prodigal son. He came to himself. He went out. Boy, he was flying high. He had his inheritance. He lived the life he wanted. But he came to himself in the hog pen. And when he came back, God met him and had a wonderful time. Nebuchadnezzar, he was a great king. And he said, look at the kingdom that I built. And God sent him out in the wilderness. You probably know the story. Until his understanding returned unto him. And the God of heaven was the God. So he worshiped him. 2 Chronicles 7:14, familiar verse. It's what we call a revival verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, he says, and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The first thing he says, humble themselves. Before prayer, before service, humble themselves. Because that's where the grace, that's where the power comes. Humility. What a blessing. Matthew 18:3. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Remember Solomon in the Bible? Solomon was the new king. David, his father, made him king, and so here he is, Solomon. He has everything. I mean, he has all the wealth, he has all the power, all the position, everything. He has everything. And God says, what do you want? And Solomon didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for more fame. He didn't ask for power over his enemies. He said, Lord, I need wisdom. But how did he say that? He said, I am a child. I know not how to go out or come in. I want to do your will. I want to honor you. And he said, I want wisdom. So God says, okay, I'll give you wisdom. Jeremiah, kind of the same thing. Jeremiah is sent to the nation of Israel. They're going to be into captivity. He's going to preach against all of that. He's called the weeping prophet. All that was ahead for him. And Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 1, ah, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Kind of sounds like Moses. And you find all of these people in the Bible that were not qualified in their own eyes. They said, how in the world am I going to accomplish that? How am I going to do that? It's a dependence upon God. With God, I can do all things. Without God, I can do nothing. John chapter 15. So when we come to serving the Lord, now in the business world, in this world, the carnal world, which that's nothing wrong with that, but you can be very successful in that world. But we're talking about the Christian realm. We're talking about a heart for God, a heart for people, God using us for souls, for whatever. That comes from God. Amen? That comes from the power of God. He said, ah, Lord God. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So we're like children. I'm a little child. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. I'm a little child. I don't know what to say. But I desire the word. And so God helps us to grow in grace. We have in 1 Corinthians 13:11. Now there's a big difference between childlike and childish, right? You ever act childishly? Probably not for a long time, right? Probably it's been 24 hours. Okay. I won't even mention because this message goes all over the world. I won't mention names. Boy, I'm so tempted to mention names. But what a difference between childlike and childish. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, this is the chapter on charity. Amen? Love in action. And in that chapter, charity seeketh not her own, is not puffed up, vaunteth not itself. It talks about, I'm not in control. This isn't about me. I love what God loves. I will show my love to those whom God loves. Amen? This is not about me. Well, I'm not like them. God wasn't like any of us. Amen? And yet he died in our place. What is childlike? Trust, wonder and awe, playfulness and humor, being willing to learn and grow, tenderness of conscience, openness about emotions and feelings, creativity and imagination. Boy, children have imagination, don't they? Joy, eternal hope, easy forgiveness. This is a good one. Easy forgiveness. Kids can be at odds, and the next day they're playing with each other, right? Easy forgiveness. Let me tell you one thing that's so good about humility is forgiving somebody. Not necessarily them forgiving you, but to enjoy that where God gives you the ability to forgive people, because there's real rest in that. Undying love, boundless exuberance and energy, always thinking the best about life and other people. That's childlike, always thinking the best. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Humility is so valuable, so powerful. God will open doors. You'll be able to reach people. You'll be able to connect with people. Just humility, not pride, not being a smoke in God's nose. It talks about being an irritation, but humility. You find humility when you get close to the Lord. What did Job say? Job was a very good man. There wasn't anybody like him, but he knew it. And he argued with his friends all the time. I'm right. No, they're right. No, I'm right. No, they're right. Big argument. It really got severe even towards the end of the book of Job, where Job was accusing God. And finally, in the last chapter, Job said, "Ah, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes." I repent. Now I get it. This isn't about me. This is about you. God, use my life. No matter what people say, I'm in your hands. And the Bible says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, the ones that had accused him through the whole book. God said, that's who I want you to pray for. That's who I want you to love. You have all of these righteous acts and all of these people that you've helped. But when it came down to this, there was that spirit of justification. I'm right. No, it doesn't matter, does it? God turned his captivity when he prayed for his friends. I abhor myself. You have Isaiah. Isaiah, first five chapters, I think five or six times. Woe is them. Look at what they're doing. Woe is them. In all of these chapters, you can look at it in your Bible. Isaiah 1 through 5. Woe is them. Woe is them. Finally, he comes to chapter 6 and he says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and God began to speak to me. And what did Isaiah say? He said, woe is me. Woe is me. Not woe is them. Woe is me. God, what have I been doing? Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. And God touched him and made him a great prophet. Humility comes when we get close to the Lord and we see who he is and who we are. We have Peter in the Bible. Peter, boy, he was headstrong, wasn't he? He always opened his mouth and said the wrong thing. I mean, if you read about the life, Peter's always saying something dumb. Amen? You know? But he said to the Lord, he said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Reality. I am a sinful man. But look what God did with Peter because of his attitude, because he just wanted to serve the Lord because he loved Jesus. Read 1 and 2 Peter and go back and read the Gospels and you see the great difference. What did God do? After that, we read it. After that you've suffered a while, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's humility. That's what humility gets you. We can go through this life, we can be proud, we can get our way, we can be a success in the world, but in our relationship to God and helping other people come to know Christ as Savior, humility. The great revival verse. Amen? Humble yourselves and pray, and then God sends revival. We might not have a revival in America. We might not have a revival in our church. But you can have a revival in your heart just by getting close to the Lord. This life is not about us. It's about God. This isn't about us. Keep your spirit right. Amen? Because that spirit of humility is so powerful. I have a lot of verses, a lot of ideas, a lot of thoughts. The thief on the cross, was a good thing he came to himself. Amen. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The publican, again, he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all it takes. But you have to admit you're a sinner before God will be merciful to you. All it takes is a prayer. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All it takes is one prayer. Humility is not my will, but thy will be done. Humility is believing what God says. It's a reverence for that. Salvation is so simple, but it involves humility. If you're here today and you've never said that prayer, you've never received Jesus as your Savior, I want you to repeat a prayer with me. You don't have to say it out loud. God will hear the prayer of your heart. And He'll forgive all of your sins. He'll give you a home in heaven. He'll absolutely change your life. If you're here today, say this prayer. Say it as to the Lord. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Please forgive me of all my sin. Please give me a home in heaven. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your word. God, I pray that you would humble us. I pray that our humility would be true, biblical, spiritual humility. And then, God, I know your promise is true. Rest, joy, strength, guidance, just because we're humble. Lord, your will be done. It doesn't matter what this looks like, that looks like, your will be done. Who opposes it, your will be done. May you be glorified in all of our lives, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's